Because I've had lots of time. Went offline for 7 days. It was fantastic. No TV, no television, no telephone, no internet. Just nothing. 7 days. You can do that too. You don't have to go away to do it. Oh, it was good. And I read a really good book. It was called Daniel. You can turn there with me if you like. Hey, Steve. Mighty missionary. God's been talking. Sharavrapahasa. I read through the book of Daniel while I was on holiday and, it's good stuff. Tell you what. Starts off talking about how the young men were brought into Babylon and how they put God first, they honoured God, they took a stand for holiness and righteousness and God favoured them at every point. I just love this book. You read about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego and how they were promoted and then jealous people said, they're not bowing down to the idols. They're brought before the king. You know the story if you've read the book of Daniel. And they brought before the king and the king said, well, if you don't bow down, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fire. And they said, we can only serve our Lord God. We will only serve and only worship the Lord of heaven, the Most High God. And so the king gets really angry and he stirs up the fire. He gets them to stoke the fire 7 times hotter so that the men that throw them in get burnt up. And they get thrown in bound up with all their turbans and robes on, thrown into the fire. And the king looks and he sees 4 people walking around in the fire with no bonds on. And the only thing that disappeared in the fire were the bondages. And they came out. The king went and called them out. They came out not smelling of smoke, not a hair singed. And then he promoted them. And I look at it all the way through the scriptures and all the way through the book of Daniel, all the way through the Bible. It's so interesting how oftentimes a test precedes promotion. How often? You think about David. David, unlike Saul, David was tested. Because the testing of our faith produces character. Saul didn't have those testings. And so the promotion that he was given actually destroyed him. If you look at the scriptures. But David, instead, he went through this huge testing. And he came to the place where he was tested to the point that even his enemies rejected him. Not only was he rejected by his brothers, by the king, by the people, and then the Philistines that he was he was staying with, they rejected him and said, no, you can't go out to fight with us against Saul. And so rejected, they go back to Ziklag and they find out that all the wives, the children, every possession that they own has been burnt and taken away. And then the men, the discontented, discouraged men that he'd built up into a mighty army, they began to talk about stoning him and they rejected him. And the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's a bad day. But that day was the day that Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. And that was the day that God made room for David to be promoted. And it was just after that, boom, David became king of Judah. And it's so interesting throughout the scripture how God does that. You know, that there'll be a test and then there'll be a promotion. And what the enemy means for evil, God will use for such glory. When they came out of the fire, when these 3 guys came out of the fire, not only were they set free and promoted, but the name of God was glorified all over the known world. So there we go. And then you read about Daniel explaining the dream to the king and the different visions and prophecies that he had. I mean, We really are in the last of the last days. The more I look at it, the more I realize, wow, God. And then you read about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Because again, jealous men who want his position, selfish ambition, decide to plot and figure out a way. And so they figure, well, we can't stop them praying, so we'll go after that again. And so he gets thrown into the lion's den because he won't worship the king. But he comes delivered out of the lion's den. The Lord closes his mouth. You know the story. Closes the mouths of the lions. And instead of Daniel being destroyed, Daniel is again promoted. And the enemies of his are destroyed. And then they're swallowed up before they even hit the bottom of the pit. But what I like and what I want to speak to you about tonight is in Daniel chapter 9. It says here, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, in the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Judah, desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he would three times a day pray to God. He'd regularly take time apart to seek God, to fast and pray. And this guy was in charge of the Babylonian Empire. He was the chief administrator. He was a busy man working in a secular job. And God showed him such incredible visions that he saw to the end of the age. But it says here that while he was studying and while he was looking, that he began to look into the prophecies spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. And he began to realize, hey, this is about to happen. That time is about up. We need to get ready and positioned to receive the promise. And as I read that, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, we need to get ready because it's all written there and it's all about to happen. We need to set ourselves to get ready. We need to set ourselves to fast and pray. We need to get ourselves ready. And as I looked at this, I realized, you know, all that God spoke to Daniel. You read about this. He, as he begins to fast and pray and repent for the children of Israel, Gabriel comes and he gives an answer about, okay, we've heard your prayer and this is what God's going to do. For 70 weeks, we're going to have a time of preparation and then the Lord's going to come and deliver you. And so, regular occurrences happen for Daniel where he has visitations from different angels and amazing things happen. And I look at it and think, well, Daniel wasn't a king of Israel. He wasn't a priest. He was a man working in a secular job who made room to hear from God. He took time, and God is just looking for anybody who will take time to set themselves and seek his face. I know I've got to have time with God at the beginning of the day. I've got to have it. I remember my very first message that I ever preached, I was about 14. It was a 10-minute message at the youth group, and I dressed up. I talked about quiet times. I talked about having a quiet time with God. And you know, that is basically been my life message, in that without intimacy with God, without time with God, I'm a wreck. I've got nothing. And at the beginning of the day, I've got to have time with God. I got home from the holiday, and I knew I had all these emails and phone calls, and get into. And a lot of invitations. We're going lots of places. Praise the Lord. God's doing some good things. But I had my time with the Lord, and then I went to go, and I went, oh, God, no, not yet. A bit more. God just wants a little bit longer with you. Because I know that the more time I spend worshiping God, praying in His presence, fellowshipping Him with Him, the more productive I am, the more efficient I am, the more effective I am, because I get what I need to give. If I run out on my own strength, I mean, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. If I walk into my day having the arm of my beloved around me, being well aware of it, involving God in every aspect of my day, it is far more effective. Just as when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, at the very beginning of the book of Daniel, you can read about how they decided to only eat vegetables because it would violate the law. And so they said, no, don't give us anything of the king's delicacies, because we don't want to do anything that would go against the law of God. And it says when they were finally brought before the king, it's just very amazing. Have a look at this. It says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in the realm. 10 times. My day is 10 times more effective when I daily, all the time, taking time out to let God love on me. Hallelujah. Because you can do things. As a Christian, you can go out and you can coast. But if you are taking time to let the Lord strengthen you, taking time to let the Lord feed you and minister to you, it's so much more effective. So it was during this time that Daniel was I pray and I read the Word. And he was reading the Word of God. He was reading the prophecy that had been spoken 70 years earlier. And he began to say, God, I know you are a faithful God. You are a faithful God. You brought us out of the Egyptian bondage. You faithfully parted the Red Sea. You are a faithful God, and your word is faithful. And he began to basically say before God, you said through your prophet Jeremiah, you said this was going to happen. So, Lord, we want to get ready. Lord, we repent. We don't want to be like we were when you brought this judgment upon us. We want, Lord God, to turn from our sins. We want what you have offered to us, and that is redemption and restoration. And you know, as we come before God and we begin to pick up the prophecies that are spoken over this nation, and not just go, oh, well, that's great, and leave it there. God is waiting for a people who'll begin to pick stuff up, look at it again, examine it and go, okay, God, what can we do here to cooperate with you that you might bring the fulfillment of this word? Smith Wigglesworth prophesied over the nation of Australia that there would be a healing revival sweep across this nation that would go to all the nations of the earth, and it would be the last great revival before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is waiting for people who will say, yes, God, you said. Yes. You said, I remember it, God. I know what you said. Lord, what do we have to do to position ourselves for where we desire to see the fulfillment of your word? For you are a faithful God.
Yes, Lord.
There's prophecies spoken over my life. I pull them up all the time. And you know, that's a good thing to do. The Bible says to wage war with the prophetic word spoken over you. Yes. To take it and say, you said, God. Yes. You said, God. And you know, I've seen so much. God has done so much in my life. Just amazing things. People write and they ask, how did it all happen for you? Well, it all happened for me by the grace and the mercy of God. But there's so much more to happen, because He is faithful and He has promised it. And what will happen is when you come before God and you say, Lord, I believe. Be it unto me according to your word. Lord, I believe it, God. What do I have to do to position myself that I might receive the fulfillment of your promises.
Amen.
There's promises in the word for the body of Christ. Like the song that was sung tonight, the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government of God, the authority, the power, the power of God on the earth, and that we are called to administrate, to be stewards of. It's all there waiting for us, and he's just waiting for people who say, God, what do we have to do to receive what you have promised? What do we have to do, God, to receive the words that you've spoken over us? And you know what we have to do is pick it up. We need to remind ourselves of it. We need to talk to God about it. Say, Lord, you said we believe it. You are faithful. We worship you. Isn't it interesting in this book how it was always the prayer and the worship that was attacked by the enemy? They were persecuted not for anything else but that they would worship God. Why don't you? You're not worshiping what we want you to worship. You're worshiping the living God. And for that, they were. Why? Because the enemy is so afraid of your worship. He's so afraid of you worshiping God. So afraid of you praying. Because if you start praying, you start worshiping God, you might begin to realize that you really are a friend of God. Yes. And he shares his secrets with his friends.
Amen.
So you don't walk around blind, but you walk in the light. Wide open eyes, seeing and well aware of what's going on and understanding that the government that is on his shoulders is also upon yours because you are part of him.
Yes.
That's scary for the enemy. So he tries to fill up our time and tries to get us busy, tries to get us distracted, tries to get us weighed down, tries to make us think we have to do it on our own. And God will say, if you'll stop, if you'll take time 3 times a day like Daniel, if you'll take time to seek my face, to fast and to pray, what I will do with you. You can only go so far. That was such a good word, brother. You can only go so far in a motorboat before the petrol runs out. But those who've got their sails up, the wind of the Spirit is what will keep them moving, is what will keep them going forward. And you know, you can't put your sail up. The only way you can put your sail up is to take time to wait upon the Lord. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's how you mount up on wings as eagles, run and not grow weary. Hallelujah. It's just amazing. If I was to do a survey here, I mean, my desire is not to bring any condemnation. But the enemy's tactic is to keep you too busy to pray, to keep you too busy to worship. And I guarantee you, you did not have as a big and important job as Daniel had. You did not have as much work as he had. But it comes back down to priorities. Most people find time to have an hour or two of television a day, but they don't have time for 5 minutes with God, set aside with the door closed. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, whether you get a daily devotional. I'll often use a daily devotional. It's a great kickstart to read the Word and just take time then to put some worship on and worship God, or just worship him with your own voice and give him honor, give him praise. Some people don't even know what to do because they don't understand what it is to have intimacy with God. But you know, as you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good, you become addicted to the place where you go, just 5 more minutes, God, just a little bit longer, just a little bit more, a little bit more. Oh God, oh yes, you're lovely. And you come out radiant and shining, can't wait till the next opportunity to close the door and get alone with God again. Hallelujah. Yes, you know. We get lit up in his presence. And we begin to realize that, hey, it doesn't matter what's going on. God is for me. Who can be against me? They could throw me in a lion's den, tell lies about me. And God will turn it around to the place where he will be glorified and I'll be promoted. Because God is for me. The favor of God rests upon me because he loves me. Hallelujah. You forget that he loves you if you don't go and let him love on you. Because the enemy comes in, he tries to blind you, tries to put stuff on, but it's only in his light, that we see truth. So we've got to continually let his light be before our faces. We've got to look at what we want to reflect. We've got to look at the one in whose light we see light. Amen? So he goes through and he's praying. Verse 20, now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And he goes on to tell him what's going to happen. You know, God wants to tell you stuff that's going to happen. He wants to give you understanding. We've got to understand that we are so greatly beloved by God. Yes, you. Whether you have a badge that says pastor or not, you are greatly beloved with God. And if you will set your face to seek him and to let him speak, he wants to reveal mysteries to you. The revealer of mysteries is his name. That's one of his names, the revealer of mysteries. Wants to share his secrets with you. So we need to take time. I believe with this coming new year, we've got an opportunity over these next few weeks, next few days, really, to seek God and say, Lord, what do you want to do this year? How can we be positioned, oh God? What do you want me to do? Help me, God. This is the word that you've spoken to me, Lord. I thank you for the fulfillment of that word. I thank you that you're faithful, oh God. Lord, help me, Lord. What do you want to speak? And you know what? He will share his secrets with you. He will help you. Because we serve a living God.
Yes, amen.
Someone who speaks back to us. When I was in Fiji many years ago, I got to minister at a Hindu school. And I shared my testimony. I shared a vision that the Lord had given me. And there were a number of pastors who went in, and it was just an amazing opportunity. I've never seen such a ripe harvest field, actually. There was the vice principal was a Christian. She was the only one. And she got us to come in on the premise that we'd talk about Easter because she thought it would be good for the students. She convinced them it would be good for the students to know what Easter was about. So I had the opportunity to share about Jesus and what he did for me. And all the pastors from the local area were invited in as well. And different ones shared. And then the altar call was given and said, who wants to know this God? He's the only way to heaven. He's the only true living God. Who wants to serve him? And 90% of the high school and the teachers gave their lives to Christ, including the principal who asked for material to be sent in and followed up. It was just an incredible thing. But the thing that struck me afterwards was they came up and they were saying, you've got a God who talks back to you? You've got a God who talks back to you. And you know what? We have a God who talks back to us. And God wants to speak a whole lot more than perhaps you're hearing right now. I know he wants to speak a whole lot more to me. But you have to first understand, hey, I am greatly beloved by God. He wants to share his secrets with me. He wants to help me. You know, most of the time people say, oh, I don't hear anything from God because they have a perception that God is so far and so big and so much greater and that he looks at us and thinks we're pathetic. And so we feel like, why would he ever want to share his secrets with me? But the truth is you're made in the image of the Father God and he looks at you and thinks you're beautiful And because of what Jesus did, he did it so that he could have fellowship with you. You are the one that he chose to be his friend, to share his secrets with. And as you understand that, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. As you understand that, you can understand that God wants to reveal mysteries to you. God wants to speak to you. God wants us to be positioned, ready. He's begun to show me some things that are coming. There's a great move happening, I believe, among the youth. God spoke to me, and it was like in the days of the Jesus People movement, when hippies from all over the place, left, right, and center, were finding God. There'd come a time when society had collapsed, the morals of society had collapsed, and then God came, and there was a great harvest. Well, I believe the harvest we're about to see of young people is going to be so much greater. It's just going to totally eclipse that. I believe there is a move of God coming in such a powerful way among the young people, and we need to position ourselves ready for that. Yes. But I also believe that as we get ready, as we hear these things, we've got to contend for it and say, Lord, you said. There was a prophecy spoken over me in America about many young people coming, and I'm holding on to that. Yes, God, what do I have to do to position myself to receive that? And I see too that God is doing such a thing that He is giving Himself glory through the church. That there's a this move of God, just as it was in the days of the Jesus movement. People are finding God, and then they're going to church. They're not finding church and then struggling to find God. There's a unity coming, just as Tom spoke tonight, where the people of God are going to be so interested in the kingdom of God that the old agendas are going to be cast aside, swept aside, and they're getting back to the real deal. Let the kingdom of God be established on the earth. You're going to hear the kingdom of God being preached. I really don't care about trying to build a kingdom. I'm very passionate about building the kingdom of God because that's what I was made for. And God, as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are added. And he's doing it. Praise the Lord. We're starting up a youth group this year with David and Kelly. Hallelujah. And different things that are... I mean, God's doing all sorts of things, but... and we're doing it in response, not because it's a good idea, but in response to the word that God's spoken. But I believe it's so important that right now we start to get positioned, ready. And you know, the other thing I look and I see is I see society and how self-centered we've all become. How even Christians, it's all about me. Me and my destiny, me and my thing and my whatever, my. And I believe that God in his glory, as he's revealing himself in his majesty, he's causing people to begin to lift up their heads and see him in his glory and begin to realize this is all about him. We're going to see intercessors raised up who are going to pray for their nation. Not one or two, but we're going to see the people of God begin to give of themselves in prayer for others. Yes, intercession is a selfless thing. But more than 90% of Christians' prayer time would be all about themselves. God doesn't mind you praying about you and your stuff. He wants you to do that. He wants you to cast your cares on him. But he has so much more than that. He wants to use you to affect nations. He wants to use us as a church. Hallelujah. Not just to grow in ourselves, but to see the nation is impacted. D- Daniel, as he was praying, he was interceding and repenting on the behalf of his nation. He was passionate to see the promise of his nation that God had spoken over his nation fulfilled. Look, I'm passionate to see that healing revival come. I want it. I want it now. I want to see it happen. And I believe as the people of God begin to rise up and say, Lord, yes, yes, God. Lord, forgive us for our selfishness. Lord, forgive us for our self-centeredness. Lord, come and move among our nation, oh God. Come and bless the churches. Come and bring a great harvest, oh God. Not just in words, but in a genuine heart attitude. That's not looking at the next place as the competition. Come on, I'm being real. That's all changing. I'm telling you now. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Because it's time now for the harvest to come in. Hallelujah. They're lost and they're dying and the time is so short. So short. You look at the Bible prophecy. Tom and I were both, I read the book of Daniel. I went, oh God, help me, Jesus. I want the understanding. Help me understand this. There's so much I don't understand. Then I said, Tom, read this. Tell me what it means. and then we both began to pray and seek God and say, Lord, what's this all about? What's it mean? And you know, I don't claim to be any eschatological expert, but I do claim to have a God who reveals mysteries. And I tell you, we don't have much time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your promises that are precious and true. Lord, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts, oh God. Father, that you would cause us, Lord God, to repent, oh God, of our self-centered ways, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'd cause us to repent, Lord, of worshipping other idols, oh God. That you'd cause us to repent, oh God, and cause you, Lord, to be lifted up as the Lord of our lives, the center of our lives, oh God, our desire and our greatest passion, oh God. I thank you for a revival, oh God, of your truth in our lives, your fire and your hunger, oh God, in our hearts. Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I ask that you'd give us ears to hear your voice, and Lord, you'd help us to position ourselves, Lord, to hear what you're saying. Thank you, Father, for the fulfillment of your promises in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I never like to let an opportunity go by, and I want to make an invitation tonight. If there's anybody here that says, I don't know God, I don't have a relationship with him. You know, you're probably here because you believe in Jesus. But believing in him is not what you need to do alone, because the Bible says that the devil believes in Jesus. The demons believe in him and they're not saved. Only those who receive what he's done on the cross and say, Lord, yes, I need your forgiveness. I need that. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Only those will be born again. And the Lord is crying out to people, drawing them to himself. And if that's you tonight and that you say, I want to give my life to Christ, I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here that says, I want to give my life to Christ tonight? Hallelujah. I want to pray for you.